to shoot off to another appointment. So apologies, you'll have to put up with me. Like I did for the previous report, because this is new and it's a significant report, I will navigate my way through the report and I'll tell you where I am and I'll highlight the key points. We'll go through the whole report without questions. And then we do have a presentation that I'll take you through. I'll take you through a slideshow. And then, of course, hand over back to the mayor, and we'll answer questions, et cetera, et cetera. So, Mr. Mayor, hopefully you're okay with that approach.
Yep, certainly.
Okay, so welcome back, everyone. So I am on page 10 of the agenda, which is the start of the report titled "The 2020-21 Draft Annual Plan." I'm going to actually probably make my way through to page. I'm going to start talking to you about page 16, paragraph 41. But before I do, I'll just give a very quick overview of what's in the report prior to paragraph 41. So, just for the benefit of everybody, obviously we commenced developing this annual plan way back in November last year, working with our budget managers and the senior leadership team. And from February, we started public workshops with yourselves. And through our journey with you, we actually completed 5 public workshops, and we managed to do that prior to COVID-19 alert level 2, 3, and 4. And as the report says, lots of work was done. There was lots of consideration. There were additional budget provision costs was put into the draft budgets. And on the 10th of March was the last public workshop where some more items were put into the workshop, and that was showing a draft average rates increase of 5.7%. So at that point, we were preparing a consultation document and we were preparing to come back to council and table a report for you to consider a 5.7% draft or average rates increase. COVID-19 took over and we obviously all realised that we needed to revisit the annual plan. And we then had two subsequent briefings with yourselves where officers discussed various options of how we could proceed with an annual plan, and also options to reduce the budget. What I'll be taking you through today is officer recommendations for you to consider to reduce the average rates increase from 5.7% right down to 2.6%. I'll go through the items on page 41 with you, and I'll also talk to you about the risks of that. What we did get a clear steer of is if we go through these items and you agree to the 2.6%, none of these recommendations change the levels of service. And 2.6% is well below what's provided in year 3 of the long-term plan, which had an average rates increase of 3.8%. So nothing in these recommendations triggers the need to publicly consult. And I'll take you through how we propose to inform the community of what's in the annual plan and what's proposed for next year through an information campaign. So I'll take you through that too. So if I could just really ask you to please go to page 16 of your agenda, paragraph 41, and I'm just going to pause to allow you some time to get there. Thank you. I hope you're all with me. So through you, Mr. Mayor, what I'd like to take you more through is what officers are recommending in terms of adjustments for you to consider and vote on later in terms of reducing the average rates increase from 5.7 down to 2.6%. So the first item there is to amend growth assumption to reflect the actual rating unit growth as of the 31st of March 2020. So for the in terms of the included in 5.7% was an assumption of growth across our growth in our rating units by 0.7%. As at the 31st of March, the growth in our rating units actually physically achieved this year is only 0.4%. So our recommendation to you is that we need to be prudent. COVID-19 has obviously slowed down that growth. The construction sector has slowed down and we've been in lockdown. So we would like to recommend that we revise our budgeted growth rates in next year's annual plan. So it's not 0.7. We need to revise that downwards to 0.4. So that actually increases your rates by 0.3%. The second item is what we think the the $233,000. This is the estimated cost of the Phase 1 community support package, the report that we've just discussed earlier before the break. So the key messages there is this is our best estimate at this time. This is the borrowing costs that the council will incur for the top-up funding of cash shortfalls that will arise as a result of the community support package. So that is a recommendation that we include that in the rates funding requirement for next year. It is interest costs on the borrowings that are needed to fund the community support package phase one. The third item in the table is to remove additional items proposed at the 10th of March. So I refer to the table at paragraph 31, including interest savings on CapEx no longer required. it may be helpful actually if I probably should, for transparency, move to paragraph 31, and I'll do so, and I'll ask you to do the same. That's paragraph 31 is on page 14. And I'll allow you a couple of minutes to get to where I am. I'm on page 14, and I'm on paragraph 31. Thank you. I will continue, and I'll go through this line by line. So these were the additional items that were considered and councillors requested to be included in the draft annual plan budget. And this is what gave rise to a 5.7% average rates increase. Now, these items were added in last, and we commonly refer to them as the last in, first out items. So given we're facing the challenges of COVID-19, our recommendation is that we take these out. So what are these? So we've got, we included some additional budget, and I'm going to move through this pretty quickly as I will assume the report's been read, but we did include some additional budget on top of what we've already got to respond to the climate emergency, and an allowance for installing 4 public recycling stations for waste minimisation. In terms of housing access and affordability, we included some more funding to increase our ability to deliver the recommendations in the housing needs and opportunities assessment. We actually provided for some small budgets for the community boards for localism. That was some OPEX funding and some CAPEX funding, $80,000 of OPEX, so $20,000 of OPEX each, and some CAPEX, $10,000 of CAPEX funding for each community board for localism. We've also then increased the capital budget. We provided more funding, more CAPEX funding for the design of a new Waikanae library. And then below that, in the Ngā Manu Nature Reserve, we wanted to co-fund a provincial growth fund bid to upgrade the visitor centre at Ngā Manu Reserve. And then we also added some CapEx to install a disabled toilet at the Ōtaki Theatre and a Ruatai Park signage. We increased, we provided some capital budget to install some navigational signage at the park. So that total, in terms of OPEX, we added $350,000 of OPEX to the budget. That equated 0.7% increase to the rates number, which is why we ended on an average rates increase of 5.7%. And the CapEx program went up by $2.84 million and the borrowings went up by the same amount. So that's where we were. And this is what we're proposing in that line item to take all of that out. And what I will do is I will be taking you through the risks of that a little bit later. So could I please ask you to navigate back to page 16, paragraph 41. I'm still going to be taking you through the officer recommendations to reduce rate from 5.7%. So to recap, the third item of the table, remove the additional items proposed at the 10th of March, refer to the table of paragraph 31, including interest savings on CapEx no longer required. That's taking all of that out. That's the whole CapEx, additional CapEx budget of 2.84 million, and the OPEX is 428,000. Now, I had been asked previously, why is that different to 350,000 above? And that's because by stripping out the CapEx, we're not incurring the borrowings, we're not incurring the interest costs. So the interest costs that we're not incurring is added to the 350 because we're saving. So that's all coming out because interest is funded through rate. Now we get onto our significant officer recommendations that we, if it was not for COVID-19, we certainly wouldn't be making these recommendations. So the fourth item in the table is inflation. So what we're recommending to councillors is to remove the allowance for inflationary increases in all of our operating costs. This includes our personnel costs. Now the impact that has is it reduces the OPEX budget by $1.27 million. So it reduces the rates revenue requirement by $1.27 million, or has a downward, it's applying downward pressure of 1.9%. Moving down to the next item, again, we've never done this before, and this is due to COVID-19. So what we're recommending is that we don't increase any of our fees and user charges for next year over and above what we're charging this year. The report does table that in addition to that, there are three fees and user charges that we're actually recommending a decrease. So, but fundamentally, what we're saying is across the board, no increases to fees and user charges next year. Normally the starting positions, they go up by inflation or they have to go up by certain additional cost pressure. But this recommendation is we do not increase fees and user charges. Now, the impact that this has is that fees and user charges effectively reduce the rates requirement or the rates funding that is required. So as soon as we reduce the additional revenue stream, it means that we need to increase our rates. So that's why the table is saying, well, that recommendation is actually increasing your rates by $240,000. And we're doing that because we're putting ourselves in the shoes of our community and we don't feel that it's prudent to be asking them to pay more for services at this time. Going down to the next item, recovery funding, and this is what Councillor Coutts raised a little bit earlier. So we've had much discussion on our multi-stage community support package. We are living through phase one at the moment. We're monitoring it. And once we know the final costs of that phase one package, and we know that we are clearer on the impacts of COVID-19 on the community, we will roll out phase two and three. So this is a recommendation that as a starter for 10, we include $250,000 in next year's budget towards the cost of those packages, as they will be needed. So this is still increasing the rates revenue requirement. So moving down to the next row, no additional depreciation funding in 2021. So again, so the impact of this recommendation recommendation is to reduce the rates revenue by $1.2 million. So again, this is an unprecedented recommendation that we're making only in light of COVID-19. So the council has not fully funded depreciation for some time, and our financial strategy is positioned to close the non-funded depreciation gap. For every dollar of depreciation that we don't fund through rates, we are funding through borrowings. And that has a significant impact. And the borrowings that we have had to issue because we're not fully funding the depreciation actually peaks over, it's a cumulative effect, and it peaks at over $50 million. So the financial strategy is aimed at closing the non-funded depreciation gap, getting us to a point where we fully fund our depreciation so that we can repay down our borrowings to best position ourselves for significant infrastructure asset replacement and upgrades in 2040. So what we're saying with this recommendation, we need to deviate from the plan in our financial strategy, given the circumstances we're in. And what we're saying is that we're recommending that for next year, we do not increase funding of depreciation. So we hold it steady at the same level for the current financial year. So included in the 5.7%, we were going to fund an additional $1.2 million of depreciation. And our recommendation before you today is to not do that under the current circumstances. And then lastly, as you know, we are working through our financials. We gave you a snapshot of the financials a couple of weeks ago, as at the 31st of March, and that indicated that in terms of the impacts of COVID-19 at that stage, was that a lot of our capital works this year won't be able to be completed next year, which gave rise to potentially a $41 million CapEx budget next year. So we know we can't deliver that. And so what we're committing to is we obviously need the time to work through that in more detail to understand what we can and cannot do, particularly as we transition between level 3, level 2, level 1. So at this stage, we're saying that we must cap the CapEx budget for next year at $38 million. Now, that's the quantified limit in our financial strategy. So what that means is that the financial strategy says that your annual CapEx spend should not exceed $38 million. Further down in the report, it does suggest that through officers reviewing these forecasts and as more information comes to light, the proposed CapEx budget for next year is already sitting at just $7 million. So what does all of that mean? That means that we've done a reduction of, if you approve all these recommendations, you'll be reducing the rates requirement by $2.19 million. And your average rates increase will be sitting at 2.6%. You'll also be reducing CapEx of $4 million, and that's to take it from $41 million down to 37, where it's currently at now, with more work to do in that space. So I wanted to just take you through a couple of risks. We do want to make sure that you're as informed as you possibly can on these recommendations. So we do want to highlight the risks of these decisions. So I'm moving down, I'm really staying on page 16, and I'm going to take you through paragraphs 42 onwards. So the growth assumption adjustment. So our strategy has always been never to budget for growth that's never going to happen. We've always been conservative. We've always placed the council in position where if growth exceeds budget, that's a much better position to be in as opposed to the other way. If you budget for growth that never happens, it just puts undue pressure on our ratepayers. So we believe that it is prudent and sensible to, given the uncertainties of COVID-19 on the construction sector, we believe that we should put a stake in the ground today and include in our budget for next year growth based on actual growth as at the 31st of March. So in terms of the community support package, this risk is really is no longer there as you've already voted and approved the community support package. So I'll move on. In terms of, I'm now on paragraph 47, and what I'm talking to about is our recommendation to take the last and first out items out. That's the $350,000 worth of OPEX and $2.8 million of CAPEX. Now, we're recommending that you do that because if you take those items out, we actually still do have some budget remaining to progress waste minimisation and carbon emission reduction initiatives. We can address the housing access and affordability issues, and we can actually still progress the development of a long-term solution for the Waikanae Library. We just wouldn't have been able to, we just can't do it at the rate that we were hoping to if that budget remained in the budget. Sorry, if those funds remained in next year's budget. In terms of the Ngā Manu Nature Reserve, they are continuing to progress their application for their visitor centre with the Provincial Growth Fund. We at this point, it is our recommendation that we closely monitor that situation. But given the uncertainties of COVID-19, we're recommending that we do continue to monitor that very closely with them, but don't commit any funding to that at this point in time. So no increase to fees and charges in 2021. What we're flagging to you here is when we considered this approach, we did put ourselves in the shoes of our ratepayers in our community that are struggling financially, that want to make use of our services but may not be able to afford to do so. So it seems entirely prudent and sensible to hold the line and not increase those fees, as well as we've also looked at those fees and user charges, and we've identified three of them where we will be actually reducing the fees and charges, and that's noted in paragraph 51 below. We're also very conscious that we don't want to suffer financial risk. So if we make the costs of accessing our facilities too high for our ratepayers, they won't access our facilities, and there will be financial loss just through that. So we want our ratepayers to be able to use our facilities. And so for that reason, we recommend that you hold the line on those fees and user charges. And we don't want to lose any public trust or confidence in us if we make things too affordable for them to enjoy. I'm going to move down to paragraph 44 and talk to you about there's no increase to fixed and variable water rates. So that's one of our recommendations as well. We do know that there is concern in the community that with COVID-19 and the requirement to wash your hands more frequently, there are some ratepayers that are genuinely concerned that their water rates bill is going to increase dramatically. We know that at $1.19 for 1,000 litres, it's unlikely that'll happen. But nevertheless, we've heard what the community is saying. And we believe that in terms of our water rates, fixed and variable charges, that at this time, we actually can afford to not increase those fees for those rates for next year. So what we're saying is we'll keep the fixed charge and the variable charge for next year the same as it is this year. Now, as you know, the water account is a closed account, and the water account includes the water rates revenue and the costs of supplying and providing potable water. And it's a closed account, and water metering has been extremely successful, and we've had a water account deficit. And the council is always committed to getting to a point where we can fully recover our costs of providing potable water, but do it in an affordable way for the community, because we ultimately want to get the water account back into the black. So we have been doing this over several years, and again, given COVID-19, given the concern that people's water rates will be going up, given the on some households with their rates, we believe that it's okay to slow down the rate at which we're effectively clearing the water account. And I'll show what that actually looks like in the presentation a little bit later. I'm now going to talk to you about paragraphs 61 to 64. I've already highlighted this mainly in terms of the additional depreciation funding to close the non-funded depreciation gap. So ordinarily we would be closing that gap to fully fund the depreciation, because at the moment we are not fully funding depreciation, and having to, for every dollar of depreciation that we're not funding through rates, we're increasing our borrowings. And we want to get to a point as quickly as possible, affordably, that we're fully funding the depreciation to allow us to repay debt, to be best placed for that significant infrastructure replacement in 2040. Again, as I've laboured, that this certainly wouldn't be a recommendation we'd put on the table for you to consider, but under COVID-19, what we're saying is for next year, don't increase your depreciation funding. So that's $1.2 million relief to the rates requirement. The impact that they will have, what's the risk? Well, there's effectively, straight away, there's a $1.2 million cash shortfall. That'll be funded by borrowings, which means that will increase the borrowings that we've had to issue because we're not fully funding the depreciation. That means that there will be consequential borrowing costs. But when we look at some slides in the future, overall, it's a responsible recommendation and a responsible decision for you to make today, because we do still, in terms of the impact it has on our borrowings profile, we still stay below the quantified limit on our borrowings. So now sort of just run you through the 2020 paragraph 65. So we've talked to you about the Capital Works program. We are looking at that. We do need to spend more time on it. The quantified limits on CapEx in terms of our financial strategy is $38 million. At one point in our journey, it was sitting at $1 million. Officers have now managed to get that down to just under $37 million. We'll continue to work on that. We will be reporting back to you on the 4th of June what we found and what our recommendations are for you to consider for the final annual plan documents as more information comes to light. Paragraph 66 is, as you know, the Council has submitted projects to the Crown Infrastructure Partners to be considered by the government. And as already noted by the Chief Executive this morning, our key message there is if all our projects were approved and we were starting to do significant capital work that did trigger our significant engagement policy, we would have to consult with the community if those shovel-ready projects were approved and the green light was given, as that would certainly top us over the $38 million quantified limit. As we always do, when we consult on the draft annual plan, officers continue to work hard to find ways in which we can reduce rates even further for you. There's some work-ons. We know that next year's depreciation is going to have a big impact on next year's budget. You'll see that in my slideshow. So we're looking at, we're doing some asset revaluations this year. We're looking at that. We're looking at our CapEx program. And as alluded to earlier today, we'll also be looking at some budgets next year that could potentially be repurposed to help finance the Stage 2 and Stage 3 community support packages. I'm now on paragraph 72. I'll talk to you a little bit about recommendation to not formally consult. I said to you before, the year 3 of the long-term plan, which is the 2020-21 financial year, our long-term plan, which involved extensive community consultation, had a provision to increase rates by 3.8%. Where we're at today is before you have got recommendations which brings the rates increase down to 2.6%. That's lower than what's provided for in our long-term plan. And we're not proposing any changes to our current levels of service. That means, and we're also not proposing any changes to any of our strategic assets. So when you put all that together, that means that we do not need to formally consult with our community. But what we do want to do and what we propose to you is that we inform the community of what's in the annual plan and what we're doing and what our average rates increase is. And so we'll be doing that by way of an information document that will be being made available online. We'll be doing extensive radio advertising. We will be including a two-page insert together with the fourth quarter rates instalments. The fourth quarter rates instalments are due on the 9th of June, and the rates invoices will be hitting our community's letterboxes in about mid-May, just before mid-May. So what they'll be seeing is they'll be seeing a summary of a two-page summary of what's in the annual plan, as well as it'll be directing them to our website for more information. We'll have an electronic copy of our information documents. We know that the Kapiti News is going to be back online, so we will be doing some advertising and some information messages in the local newspaper. And we will be just making every effort to make sure that everyone is aware of what we're planning to do next year. And the big point that I wanted to raise here is that the information document will provide the opportunity for the community to provide feedback on the annual plan. So because we're consulting, the information document is not asking the community's views on a number of options. We're not asking them to say yes or no to options 1, 2, 3, or 4. We're explaining to them the reason for the rates increase and what we're planning to do. Inevitably, we will have members of our community that put in proposals and requests for additional funding. So in light of the financial pressures that we're under, so that those will be obviously provided to councillors to consider, but proposals and funding requests will form part of consideration of next year's long-term plan. Feedback received on next year's annual plan will be provided to councillors, and the public will be provided the opportunity to talk to that feedback at council meetings up to and including the 4th of June. I'm just moving through quite quickly now. I've probably really done, I'd like to take you to paragraph 100 on page 22, and I'll allow you just a couple of seconds to get there. Thank you. So paragraph 100, so the report outlines the timetable from here effectively all the way through to actually adopting the annual plan. And this just sets out what we've got to do together between now and the 1st of July. So we're with you today for you to consider this paper and effectively adopt a draft annual plan, which will include a rates increase. We'll need to take you through the recommendations so you can make those decisions. The information document that I've been talking about is going to be published in early May. And before that's done, we'll be working with a panel to make sure that you're very comfortable with the information document. So the panel is comprised of the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, Councillors Coates, Councillors Compton, and the Chief Executive. So we'll be working with you to make sure that the messaging and the content of the information document is correct. And we'll also then at that stage, once the panel is happy with the information document, we'll be bringing that back to full council by way of a briefing before we hit the green light and get it published and get it loaded onto the website. As I mentioned, included in the fourth quarter rates invoices are mailed out on the 8th of May. There'll be a two-page insert included in those, raising people's awareness of what's included on an annual plan. Our fees and user charges will be adopted by council on the 28th of May. Now, the reason why we need to do this, so these are the fees and charges for next year. We need to do this before you adopt the annual plan because it relates to the dog registration. So we need to know what the fees are so that we can start processing the invoices, raising those invoices for dog registrations to be paid, which must be paid on or before the 31st of July. We'll be doing the final date for, so the community community will be able to provide feedback to the council on its annual plan up until the 29th of May. And then we will be sitting down with yourselves at a council meeting on the 4th of June. We will be discussing that feedback, and we'll also be bringing back to you the results of work that we'll be doing between now and then on any other further either cost additions or cost reductions on our rates revenue requirement. 25th of June, we'll then go away. We'll be asking you for a clear steer on what the final annual plan should include. Officers will be then going away and working up all the documents of the annual plan, the financial statements, the activity statements, etc. And we'll be coming back to you seeking formal adoption of the 2021 annual plan on the 25th of June. And then what will logically follow that is we'll actually set the rates for next year. We cannot legally set rates until such time as you've adopted the annual plan. And then what will then happen is on the 1st of July, we will have an operative 2021 annual plan. So I might at this point just pause and ask if Tanika could please load the slide deck. Okay, thank you, Tanika. Could wonderful. So, right. I've only got a few slides to take you through. So please don't worry. It's not a 20-page presentation. I'll just be giving you a quick summary of the rates, borrowings, and capital spending. We'll have a look at that water account. We'll look at our borrowings profile. We'll have a closer look at non-funded depreciation, and then we'll finish off with our capital spending. And this is just to provide you a bit more context and broaden your understanding before we ask you to make decisions on the recommendations before you today. Thank you, Tanika. Next slide, please. Right, so this is just a quick summary. So we've got, we're focusing on the three levers of our financial strategy. So I'm moving left to right. So in terms of our borrowings, so the net borrowings as at the 30th of June 2021 is budgeted to be at 166 million. And the key point here is that is actually less than what we had budgeted net borrowings to be in our long-term plan as at the 30th of June 2021, which said it would be 187. So we are tracking lower. Our borrowings will be less than what we had anticipated in our long-term plan, and that's obviously because our capital works program has been slowed down. In terms of our capital spending, this is a cumulative over the 3 years. So over the 3 years of the long-term plan, we will be subject to your approval. We'll be spending $82 million over the 3 years versus the long-term plan had a budget provision of 94. Again, that's driven by the fact that we are having to slow down parts of our capital work program due to COVID-19. And in terms of our rates income, should you approve a 2.6% average rates increase today, then the total rates revenue or total rates requirement for the 2021 year will be just over $71 million. Again, that is actually lower than what has been provided for in year three of the long-term plan. The year three of the long-term plan assumed a rates increase of 3.8%, and that equates to that translates to $72.8 million rates revenue requirement. Thank you. Next slide, please, Tanika. So this is a busy slide, but I'll take you through it, and I hope you can see my cursor. You probably can't see my cursor actually, because it's not my screen that's being shared. So Tanika, if you could please move your cursor to the right hand side, the three dark green bars. So what I'll take you through this chart, because there's quite a lot happening. So the dark green bars is representing the cost of supplying the water supplying and providing potable water 1920, 2021, all the way up to 2223. And then you see this little light grey dotted line with little triangle points. That's representing the water rates revenue. So for 1920, we're forecasting rates revenue to be higher than the cost of providing water. And that's because we are looking at bringing the water account deficit back into the black. We're gradually increasing what we charge for water to cover our costs. Because water metering has been so successful. If we go to 2021, what I said to you before is what we're recommending is no increase to the fixed or variable charge next year. So we're recommend that we keep water rates the same as the current year. And what we have done is why there's a dip in the revenue is for two reasons. Number one, in terms of our modelling, we've assumed a reduction in the growth to our rating units. We did assume 0.7%. We're now factoring only 0.4%. So that's going to have an impact on our revenue. And we've also assumed under COVID-19, we've assumed a 2% reduction in water consumption with businesses being closed. So a small little drop in revenue. So that's why, although we're holding the water rate fees the same, we are forecasting a drop in our water revenue. And then if we look at our water account balance, the dotted blue line, you can see for 2021, so this is actually using the right-hand side scale. And so what you've got on the right-hand scale, so this is the water account deficit. So it's either zero or it's $200,000 in deficit, $400,000 in deficit, $600,000 in deficit. So for 2021, we think that we'll climb almost out of our, we'll be sitting at about a deficit of $100,000. And in 21-22, we'll almost get back into the black at 0%. 22-23, there's a drop. And at the moment, what that modelling is showing us is we revalue our water assets in 21-22. And so at the moment, we're anticipating a step up in depreciation for our water assets following the revaluation, which will increase our cost of supplying water. So I wouldn't focus too much on 22-23. That's just modelling today. We obviously need to get there when we do the revaluation. We'll know where we're at. But this is just a graphical representation of showing you that it is prudent and it is responsible if you put a freeze on any increases to water rates. The water account deficit still moves towards recovering. And I'll show you that on the next chart. Thanks, Tanika. Okay, so many of you'll be familiar with this table. It's what we include in the quarterly finance update report. So what I'll ask you to do is to focus on the column 1920 forecast shaded in navy blue. And I'll step you through what we're actually saying. So we're saying that for the 1920 year, we're forecasting that the cost of providing water will be $8.8 million and the water rates revenue will be $9.1 million. So that means that we'll have a $300,000 surplus for the year for water. So revenue will exceed costs by $300,000. And what that effectively will do now, this table is not casting due to rounding errors, so please bear with me on this one. But effectively what it does is it takes our water account deficit in 18-19 of $600,000 and reduces it down to $300,000. And you can see from the table that the current pricing, the water rates, the variable price, we pay $1.19 per cubic meter of water. And we also charge a fixed price of $222. So that is the water rates for 1920. And in terms of, we recover 55% of our water costs through the fixed price. So moving to 2021, where you can see just below that what we're recommending to you is no increase to the variable charge or to the fixed charge. And what you'll notice is what I have taken you through. So our costs for providing water will go up, but the water rates revenue is coming down because we've got less growth and we've actually factored in less consumption of water due to COVID-19, you know, primarily from businesses. So we'll still make a surplus. We're still moving in the right direction in terms of the water account deficit. It will actually go down to 0.1. And then you can see in 21-22, what we'll do is, those are the charges that we do, that you do approve, do set and levy next year. We'll see that we'll be back in the black next year. So where it's we can afford to slow it down a little bit and respond to our community. Next slide, please, Tanika. I wanted to just show you a little bit about borrowings. So to take you through the charts, we've classified our borrowings. So this is our net borrowings. And so the orange, the part of the bar that's in orange, so that is the borrowings that we have issued as top up to not fully funding depreciation. As you know, you've heard me say often, for every dollar of depreciation that we're not rates funding, we still need that cash to meet our expenses. So we fund that through borrowing. So the orange bar is the level of borrowings that is related to not fully funding depreciation, and the gray is everything else. In terms of all the recommendations that we've made to you today, what you've got before you is, this is our borrowings profile. And that dotted green line is what we refer to as our green line in our financial strategy. Now the quantified limit on borrowings and our financial strategy is that our net debt must not exceed 200% of our operating income. So with the recommendations before you today, you can see that in 2021, our borrowings is below the green line, which is where it needs to be. So you can see there's not an awful lot of headroom, but there is headroom. Well, actually, it's the scale, sorry. There is headroom. There is headroom to be doing this. It's just the scale that's making it look like a little tiny pinch. But the key point here is if you look at the grey line, you can see that even with today's recommendations, that our borrowings will be lower than what's been planned for or estimated in the long-term plan. So two checks there for you. We are within our quantified limits on borrowings for our financial strategy, and our net borrowings is lower than what was anticipated for the long-term plan. Next slide, please, Tanika. Okay, I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about non-funded depreciation, given the significance of this recommendation, and given that we would never, we certainly wouldn't put this recommendation forward to you if it wasn't for COVID-19. So I do appreciate we've got two axes going on. It's quite a busy chart, so I'll take you through it as best I can. So the vertical blue charts, borrowings year on year on year, so exactly the same as the chart you've just seen. And the dotted green line is the quantified limits of our borrowing. So borrowing should not go over that green line per the financial strategy. And the green line at the bottom, sorry, the grey line tracking at the bottom, that is the borrowings that we've issued, that we've had to, because we're not fully funded depreciation. So that, as you can see, it steadily works its way up to over $50 million. So so when you ask for the risk, what is the risk of not fully funding depreciation, you top it up by issuing more debt. And that just continues to grow. So the total amount of debt that we have on the books because we haven't fully funded depreciation will be in excess of $51 million, and it'll be steadily increasing. So we want to close that non-funded depreciation gap as quickly as possible, but do it affordably, and so that we can start to repay down debt and best place ourselves for significant capital investment required on the three water assets in the future. So that part of the chart you've already seen, I'm going to ask you to focus on the red dial. And the red dial is actually linked to the axis on the right-hand side, the level of unfunded depreciation. So our financial strategy is looking at, or is poised to year on year reduce the amount of depreciation that we're not funding. And that's why it's going downwards. So in 15-16, we weren't depreciating over $7 million of our annual depreciation. And as you can see, the financial strategy has been in play for a wee while. And year on year, that's coming down. So the key points here is that in 1920, we've got unfunded depreciation of $3.5 million. In 2021, if we didn't do anything at all, we are not funding, our unfunded depreciation is going to be $3.1 million. So we're not increasing the funding whatsoever. And all that means is we're increasing our borrowings by $1.2 million. That stays below the quantified limit on borrowings. And it just means it takes us a little bit longer to fully fund our depreciation. And that takes us up to the 30th of June, 2025, as you can see on the chart. Next slide, please, Tanika. So this is our capital spending. This is a very quick profile for you. The green line is the quantified limits as per our financial strategy, not to have more than $38 million of capex in any given year. We, as I said before, that was sitting at $41 million. It's down to just under $37 million. That's obviously still going to be a work on for us. We'll work through that. 1920 is looking very low. That's the impacts of COVID-19. We'll be pushing stuff, carrying stuff over from 1920 into 2021. The impact that they'll have is we'll need to then obviously look at that program, as we might have to defer stuff that we had initially anticipated in 2021 that have to be deferred into the out years. That 21-22 capital works program profile will need to be looked at as part of the work we're doing now, but also as part of the long-term plan. So you can see the line, the grey or the blue line. It looks grey on my screen. That's the capital works program profile, which is sitting in the long term plan. So you can see for 2021, we're just a tickle over what we plan to do compared to the long term plan. But obviously, 21-22, that's what we're starting to see there, is the impact of having to push the work program out. Because of what we're currently facing today. And of course, we don't want to be, we won't be exceeding the upper limit of $38 million. But I will reiterate what I said a little bit earlier. If we get the green light for the shovel-ready bids that we put forward, and that means that we are going to be doing a lot more capex, and it triggers our significant engagement policy, that'll put us in a position where we need to consult with the community next year. Thank you, Tanika. Next slide, please. All right, just a quick fire view of our rates increases. I'm looking at the pie chart on the left hand side. So on the 10th of March, the council at the end of that workshop, you landed on 5.7%. What we wanted to show you here is what was really driving that 5.7%. You had 1% for inflation, 1.3% for depreciation. So this is all the assets that have been created in the prior year that are put in use and are being commissioned. That increases the depreciation charge, which increases our costs by 1.3%. 1.2% was what we had planned to do to increase the funding of depreciation, to close the non-funded depreciation gap. And in the report, we showed you earlier on in the report, we detailed by way of a table the cost increases that the council is facing, which makes up 0.9%. And then those last in, first out items that we're recommending you take out contributed to 0.4% of the 5.7% increase. Things have changed dramatically since then. If we switch across to the right-hand side, on looking at the drivers of the rates increase, the 2.6% proposal, you can see we know we're recommending inflation is out. Don't close the depreciation funding gap. So the only things that can possibly be left is the 2.6% is driven by additional depreciation coming through from assets that are now put in use. That's 1.3% of the 2.6%. And then you've got 0.8% for the cost increases that were tabled in the report. And there's a couple of other items that don't even show a slight little wedge. So those are the key drivers of rates increases for the 2.6%. So a 2.6% increase or average rates increase translates to an increase in the rates revenue requirement of $2.1 million. And that in itself equates to an additional $1.65 per week per ratepayer on average. Next slide, please, Tanika. Ah, I'm done. So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to hand back to you.
Right. Thank you, Mark, for a comprehensive response. Councillors may not know that last week on Thursday, I had drafted an email to all of you to actually defer this meeting because of the tremendous pressure that the finance team were under getting the report ready. But they worked really, really hard to get it ready, so we didn't have to defer it. So thank you, Mark, and the finance team for the work that you've done to date. I'm just signaling also that Chair of the Strategy and Operations Committee, Councillor Coates, has signaled you want to move the resolutions. Meantime, you're open for questions. We have Bernie Randall, James Coates, and Gwyn Compton. Bernie. Bernie Randall, here we go. Oh, he's not there.
It's my fault. I'm getting used to the technology. My question is this, that although I'm not objecting to the 2.6% increase, I think the work undertaken is not essential. I think there's more essential work in Waikanae, Paraparaumu, Raumati, that could be put on there. And what Mark has referred to, last in, first out, in hindsight, I think that is not good. We should be looking at essential work. And I want to address a question to Gary Simpson. Gary, can you hear me? Yeah, I want to address a question to you. I think the Chief Executive can reduce the operational expenditure a lot more.
Hang on a moment. Gary is not a council staff member. He's a member, independent member of the Audit and Risk Committee.
Why is he on? I'm addressing him through as his role as the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee meeting.
He's not the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee.
I just want
to establish the protocols around this. So can you, if you want to question staff, ask the question to the Chief Executive.
Sorry. Okay, so the question about OPEX, can I, through you, ask Gary Simpson? Mr. Mayor?
Can you address the question that you want to the Chief Executive to answer?
Yeah, but the Chief Executive will say that he's cut the operational expenditure as much as possible.
We'll leave that to him to answer.
Anyway, I made my points, Mr. Mayor.
Mark, you have a response? Mark.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Would you like me to respond to Councillor Randall's question?
That's right.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Look, the only thing I can really add to what I've already said is that we have looked pretty hard. You know, we've been on this journey since November, and we've worked very hard with the councillors, we've worked very hard with the community boards. The councillors have done prioritisation exercise. You identified that we needed to increase our costs for essential items that actually, and that's detailed in the report. And for you is some significant recommendations to reduce rates down. We have said that as a work on between now and the 4th of June, that the council will continue to look for opportunities for rates to be lower. We'll be looking at our capex, we'll be looking at our depreciation, we'll be looking at the revaluation this year. So the work is already in play to reduce our rates as much as possible. And this is a normal process. This is what we do every single year to best advise the councillors.
Thank you. Councillor James Coates.
Thank you, Guru. I've got a number of questions, if you could just bear with me. So, Mark, appreciate that councillors have had briefings around the details within this paper. One of the ones that I've struggled with a little bit is around the, on page 14, number 31, around the replacement of the vehicle fleet. The bit that I've sort of struggled with is we know that there is a direct OPEX saving through the use of the EV vehicles. I'm assuming the purchase of it, it's a capital expense, so the interest on the borrowings is minimal, would barely probably register in a rate increase. And I guess the question that I'm asking is, are any vehicles going to be replaced anyway, just due for renewals? And if so, will they be replaced with EVs? Or were these over and above? And has it been considered the OPEX saving, you know, essentially could even be net neutral? I don't know, you know, how the savings compare to the interest costs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Sean, did you want to answer part of that?
Sure, yep. I'm not sure if my mic is on.
Yep, you can hear.
Okay. So, the first question there was, I think, about was the money that was proposed over and above what we would normally provide in terms of replacement vehicles?
I guess what I'm getting at, Sean, is I don't have an issue taking the budget out, but if we are going to need to purchase vehicles anyway, just due to our new renewal process, would we be replacing them with EVs? And I guess the second part of the question was, we know that there's a operation like an OPEX saving due to the reduction in not having to purchase fuel. You know, does that offset the interest cost on the capital investment?
So yes, we will be replacing. I think we had programmed or budgeted to replace one vehicle with an EV. I guess the money is really to advance our renewals of those vehicles. So we have a policy at the moment that has the criteria around when we replace the vehicle. And under that policy, we wouldn't have replaced as many next financial year as we would have if we put more money in to bring forward the replacement of some of the pool vehicles that meet the criteria for EVs, if that sort of makes sense.
Sure.
So yes, so we still be, we'll likely replace one of those vehicles with an EV next year. And in terms of the net saving, in terms of fuel, I don't know the exact numbers, but I don't think it would make that much of a significant difference in terms of the overall difference in cost and adding additional money to the budget to add more vehicles to the fleet, basically.
Okay, thank you, Sean. That clarifies that. The second question I had was around, Mark, it was around the slowing down the funding of depreciation. I know that you covered that off a little bit, but, you know, I think it's important to stress why we haven't done that in the past. And you can just clarify again the, I guess, the cost to us and not funding that. The risk here, I guess, from the public perception is by not doing some of these things, we're actually saving money. We know we're not spending money. But there is actually a cost to many of these decisions that we've made in terms of not proceeding with some of them, and that being the interest cost.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, certainly, Councillor. So so I think the first part was just to reiterate why we don't deviate from the strategy to close the non-funded depreciation gap, because there is a direct cost, and that's borrowings. Before you today is a recommendation that will increase your borrowings by $1.2 million. So that'll go into the pot of borrowings, which means effectively we'll have over $50 million worth of borrowings that relates to non-funded depreciation. In terms of our modelling, when we budget for our interest costs, we're assuming a weighted average cost of capital of 4.5%. So the more you don't fund depreciation, you're topping up by borrowings, your accumulated borrowings on that is rising. So it's $50 million already. It's going to go up 1.2. And every single year that you don't close that gap, you're increasing your borrowings, and that's impacting your headroom. So we know that we may want to be agile with our capital program, but if you keep increasing your net borrowings, you're working your way closer to that green line. So you are effectively constraining your ability to be agile for those shovel-ready projects. But in a nutshell, Councillor Coutts, you're adding to a $50 million worth of debt, which does incur interest costs, and we model that at 4.5%. So the quicker we close that non-funded depreciation gap, it means that we are issuing less debt, and we can start to really significantly reduce Council's level of debt and best position the council for that significant infrastructure spend in 2040.
Thanks very much, Mark. And I think the analogy that's a little bit rough, but that's been used in the past, is it's a bit like not paying off your credit card, and it just keeps accumulating on top of itself. So the next question I had, I've only got a couple more, is regards to the capital expenditure program. On page 18, the table that's there, tallying those numbers, it only comes up to sort of 17 odd million, and I know that there is a full capital works program, but are we able, it doesn't affect my decision, my ability to be able to make a decision today, but can we actually get a full breakdown of that capital works program, just emailed to councillors or elected members? Because it's sitting at, I think it was 36.7 million, obviously there's a lot more in there than the 17 million that's been shown on the table.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor, I'm looking at the paper, and I'm looking at paragraph 65, which is, so one of the points to stress is that at our first ever virtual briefing, where we discussed options for the annual plan, as well as the financial forecasts, we had asked our budget managers to do their financial forecasts a lot faster than normal. And that was indicating to us a $41 million CapEx program in 2021. Having had a bit more time and looking at those assumptions, that's gone to 36.7. There is still a lot of work happening, you know, looking at those projects. And Councillor, I hear your request to send the list out, but there's still work that's taking place on the capital works program. Our intention would be to continue to work through that. The senior leadership team need to be satisfied with those numbers, and that is going to be reported back to you in detail on the 4th of June.
Thank you, Mark. And if I could clarify the reason why I ask is, as elected members, you know, we're obviously asked what that money's being spent on, and we need to be able to articulate to the community these are the specific projects and where they are and so forth. So I'll move on from there. I've got sort of two questions in one here, and it's around the borrowings. Obviously, the meeting today has been publicly discussed, and there's concerns around our levels of debt, some saying that our debt is just continuing to be increased. But I'm thankful that you noted in your presentation that our net debt sitting at 166 million is lower than projected in the LTP. Can you also just confirm that through this slight change in our approach that it's not affecting our credit rating with Standard & Poor's and our financial, our overall financial position?
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. I'm just trying to recap the words that we used the last time. Look, the reality of the situation is we haven't had an indication from Standard & Poor's that they would downgrade us. We have a process where they come and evaluate us annually. They look at our CapEx program. They look at our debt. The reality of the situation is right now is the decisions that you make today will not mean that our borrowings breaches our upper limit. Our CapEx is not going to breach our quantified limit. We obviously need to commit to a CapEx program that we can deliver on. They come in and apply a number of different, the word I'm looking for is matrices. They use a lot of adjustments to our financial statements. They look at the strength of the financial management. They look at compliance with our treasury management, our ability to deliver in our CapEx. And right now, globally, everyone's in the same position where the Planned Capital Works program is slowed down. So at this stage, I cannot report to you with certainty that our credit rating is going to be absolutely 100% maintained. But equally, we've had no correspondence with Standard & Poor's at this time that they've got some major concerns.
Thank you, Mark. The last question I have is for Chief Executive. Wayne, the funding in the annual plan, looking for reassurance that there's sufficient funding in there to deliver on the economic development strategy. I know there's a separate discussion there around the timing of that and the implementation, and I don't really want to get into that in this meeting because it's not really the time for that, but just really seeking a reassurance from you that there's sufficient budget in there to implement the strategy that we've worked hard on.
Thanks, Councillor. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the budget hasn't changed in that space, so there's still around $700,000, which includes the $60,000 for Māori Economic Development, I think it's called. So that hasn't changed at all. So we still have the same amount of money we were originally proposing for delivery of all the actions next year. And obviously, all I'll say is some things may need to be rethought, like major events and those sorts of things. So that's part of why we need to take a quick look at what are the impacts and should any of that money be redirected. But it is all still there to deliver on the strategy and its actions.
Thanks very much, Wayne. That's all from me, Guru.
Right, we've got Gwyn Compton.